Time for Dishing Up Nutrition with licensed nutritionist Darlene Kvist. Each week, Darlene explains the connection between what you eat and how you feel. Stay tuned to hear practical, real-life solutions for healthier living through good nutrition. Dishing Up Nutrition is brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Cassie Wienus, registered dietitian. And as always, I need to start off the day not only with a good morning to all of our listeners, but I also have to say good morning to my two biggest fans back home. So Riley, my 3.5-year-old, and Marissa, my 1-year-old, good morning. Today, you guys that are listening are in for a great show. And I think we're probably going to have a few more listeners than usual because it looks not so great out there. We were talking about the thunder that woke us up last night. I think we're going to get some more rain. But if you're tuning in, a great show and a timely one as well. I have a fellow mother of young kids in the studio with me today. Not as young as mine, but young kids.
And I'm not as young as you either.
Well, I don't feel young. Running around after those toddlers. But we're going to be talking about some necessary supplies for making back to school successful this fall.
Oh my gosh. And, you know, I can't believe the summer is flying by so quickly, but it is that time just around the corner. The school supplies are in the store. So we are here today to give you some ABCs on back to school supplies that have nothing to do with pens and paper and glue and crayons and all that stuff.
A little bit different twist this morning. And I bet a lot of you recognize that voice. With me today is a great teacher who is on our staff at Nutritional Weight and Wellness. She's a mom of 3 kids, I think ranging from 12 to 17.
As of last week, 17.
That's a busy life. You're also a wife, which is a job in and of itself.
And
she works in the school lunchroom during the school year. Mary Haugie is one busy lady, yet she agreed to get up at the crack of dawn to join me this morning. So glad to have you here, Mary.
Thanks.
Good morning.
You know, I'm really excited to be here, and I need to give a little hello to my walking buddy. Hey, Linda, if you're listening, nice to have you with us this morning.
Yes.
And also, I told my Maple Grove class that I would say hi to them, so I'm hoping they're all listening as well. So, hey, yeah. Maple Grove class, you've been awesome in the last 5 weeks.
That's your 6-week.
It is my 6-week, and we're down to week 6 this week, so it's always hard to say goodbye to those people after that amount of time.
Exactly. So I want to just say that for those of you that haven't met Mary yet or been in one of her classes, she really has experienced firsthand how feeding your kids real food in balance goes a very long way in setting them up to have the best school year possible.
You know, and that is so true. And I can't emphasize enough that kids are really smart. And if you teach them the whys of good nutrition, they will start coming to you and saying, "Mom, I have a big test today, so I better eat a lot of protein for breakfast," which is awesome. Or I have soccer practice and I'm going to need extra energy for the day. And, you know, we started when they were 8, 10, and 12. But really, the sooner the better, because you don't develop those bad habits then. And the sooner they can learn about balance in their diet and what it does for them, the better off you parents are going to be.
I always say I am so fortunate that I started here working when Riley was about 1. Yeah, he would have been 1 and I was pregnant with Marissa. The day I got accepted, I was pregnant. I thought I was, but I didn't want to say it to Dar and I didn't know for sure. And yeah, but anyway, you know, because they didn't get the taste for the junky stuff that I did as a kid, you know. And so it certainly is easier. And just hearing you talk, and some of the listeners heard this story already, but Mary, I have to tell you. We were home a few weeks ago at my parents' house for a week. So in North Dakota on the farm, the kids and I always do that every summer. And we had my 8-year-old nephew staying overnight at grandma's with us one night. And he gets up, you know, and a boy has to have food in his mouth before he barely opens his eyes. And he's just a skinny little thing, but goes to grandma's freezer. And I'm still working on grandma to get better foods. But he's digging in there. And I figured it was for something junky. Like, "Oh, I hope grandma has it." And he's digging and he pulls out a pack of toaster strudels.
Oh my gosh.
And it was so cute. My little 3-year-old walks over to him. He takes the box out of Austin's hands, pretends like he's reading the box And he looks up at Austin. He says, "No, Austin, this is junk food. You should have healthy stuff for breakfast." And I was so proud. And yet I thought, oh, my gosh, my husband is going to think I'm creating this nerd. And I, you know, I want him to have friends. But you know, yeah, you teach them young. And we always talk at our dinner table about, you know, the beef, the burger on your plate builds strong muscles.
Oh, yeah.
We show each other our muscles. And the vegetables, brain power, you know, and the kids just get into that.
Yep.
We really are starting to get off on a tangent. We're talking all about the food piece, but we have some other stuff to talk about as well in terms of the ABCs of back to school. We're going to talk more about food as the hour goes on here. Mary's going to tell a great story about her daughter and how changing her daughter's meals really changed her life. But before we get into a lot of the nitty-gritty on the food portion, I want to start out by decoding the ABCs of back to school. The title of our program today is the ABCs for back to school wellness. So when we look at that A, that B, that C, that S, starting with the letter A, we want to talk about aerobic exercise.
And if you look around you today and you think about when you were a child, how many friends of yours were actually overweight? I mean, I think I had two that were slightly pudgy.
I had one in my class.
Yeah, think about that. And back then, we didn't have as many options for fast food. There wasn't one on every corner, nope. Certainly. And we just weren't buying those processed things, and they weren't as available. And yeah. We weren't as busy and all that stuff. And now you look around and these poor kids, it's an epidemic. And their kind of society is not in their favor because we have so much technology that keeps them just sitting idle all day. And you really do have to make a lot more of an effort to get kids out exercising and to have them be active on a regular basis than when we were kids. We were outdoors all day long.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And some of the statistics, you know, in 1970, only about 4% of children were overweight. And today, 4 decades later, we have about 18% of our children who are overweight. And what a sad statistic that is.
That's just a slap in the face when you look at that. Wow. So the number of overweight kids has quadrupled since I was born. It's just so sad.
And, you know, when you even just think about the portion size. You know, I remember when Burger King went in our neighborhood, and it was a couple miles down the road, not on the corner. And the portion sizes were now what is considered the child's kids meal.
That
was the normal portion size. So just, I know we had portion distortion a couple weeks ago as our topic, but
A good show. Oh my gosh. Just
everything.
Giving the examples of, how many calories then and now how many calories. And I bet a kid's meal is about the number of calories that an average adult should have.
Yeah, should have.
Should have.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Mm. So, certainly that is a factor, the fast food. And I know both of us, Mary, when we teach classes, we talk about this, that when we say fast food, yes, we mean the Burger Kings, the McDonald's, but we also mean the Lunchables and the chicken McNuggets that you can buy in the store and heat up really fast, or those, you know, cheap breaded fish sticks. Fast food is more than just the drive-thru, but either way, it's very junky.
Right. And I always think of it as if it comes in a box or a bag or a can and takes you less than 2 minutes to prepare, it is really probably not very nourishing for your body, because the more things are handled, the more nutrients are eliminated from those foods. So
Exactly. And we're going to be talking more about foods and the quality of them as we go on. But, you know, back to that aerobic exercise piece. As you mentioned, when we were kids, we were outside all the time. Unfortunately, with the way we are today, urban inner city kids, you know, unless you are still in the middle of nowhere, North Dakota, like I grew up, or there are still middle of nowhere, Minnesota areas left, you can't just walk out the door and play. And, you know, a lot of moms, whether they're working full time, part time or not, you don't have time to just be outside with your kid all day. So it is hard to get that movement piece in there, but we have to strive and work hard to get that aerobic exercise.
Yeah, and unlike you, I grew up in the inner city of Minneapolis. So
you did. I was going to ask you before the show, and I forgot.
I did. I was in the heart of North Minneapolis, and yet I was outside all day long.
It wasn't as scary of a neighborhood.
It wasn't. And we had a lot of large families like my own. And we would get together at night and we'd have these huge games of kickball and kick the can and flashlight tag. And, you know, and it was just really a community where, yeah. you know, now I think people move around so much and they don't get to know their neighbors as much. And then they don't feel safe sending their kids out by themselves. And, you know, if you're busy all the time, you don't have time to be out there with them. So it's really between a rock and a hard place mm-hmm. when it comes to that exercise.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, with all the computer stuff, the Facebook, the games on the computer, the video games, the TV, how, you know, my kids are still young, so I'm not battling that yet, but how have you dealt with?
Well, you know, I do talk to them about balance, and if I see them on there, you know, for more than an hour, I will just say, it is time to shut that off and get outside because you're not really exercising your brain or your body by sitting here. And during the school year, it's hard because there's so much homework that needs to be done on the computer now.
Yeah, yeah. You know? There's more homework these days than when I was a kid. I know that too. You know, it is already time for a break. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company specializing in the healing power of real food. We're talking today about the ABCs for back-to-school wellness. And when we return from break, Mary's going to give you her top five reasons for getting kids more physically active. If you have questions today regarding back-to-school wellness, 651-641-1071.
Living life out loud on FM 107.1.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Mary Hauge, nutrition educator, and I'm here this morning with Cassie Wienes, registered dietitian. We're discussing the ABCs of back to school that are essential to your child's health and wellness. And if you're just joining us, we've already talked quite a bit about the importance of exercise in our youth. But there are numerous health benefits of regular activity. And the top five on my list would probably be keeping my kids out of the doctor's office. Physical activity really helps with that, as well as good nutrition, less likely to become overweight. Well, when you look at the whole obesity epidemic, we know that leads to type 2 diabetes, and we are seeing that in younger and younger. I mean, teenagers.
Oh, Mary, what about the heart disease?
Oh.
Here's a whole nother story how now they're saying that kids as young as 8 can have the statin drugs.
Yeah.
Even though it hasn't really been tested, but yeah, let's not change their diet.
Right.
Let's give them
just,
a drug.
Right. Sleeping better. You know, who doesn't want a good night's sleep? And boy, I have a 12-year-old sleeper at my house who needs 12 hours of sleep. And if she doesn't get it, her day does not go very well. Yeah. You know, high energy during the day, but she needs that sleep. Better moods. Do you really want to put up with tantrums? You can tell when your kid is out of sorts. And most often it's either food related or sleep related.
Yeah.
So, and with my kids, you know, pretty close to being teenagers. I have actually 2.5 teenagers.
Yeah.
Physical and mental stress, you know, how are they going to handle the workload at school? It is so much more rigorous than when we were kids. It just blows my mind. So that is something that exercise can help with. It can alleviate that stress for them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the center, you know, I was doing some research to see what the big health organizations were recommending, and it varied a little bit, but a lot of the major health organizations were in line with what the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is recommending. And so that's the one I brought with me today. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommends that all kids ages 2 and up, so as young as 2 and older, should get at least 1 hour of physical activity each day. And most of that time should be spent doing aerobic activities where your heart really gets pumping.
Yeah, and so that is the A in our ABC puzzle today, is A for aerobic. And what I like is, you know, I'm pretty athletic, and so my daughter will say, can we play ball in the yard? And so the whole family goes out there, and do you think I'm going to let those kids beat me? Absolutely not.
Okay, so, you're not just athletic, you're competitive.
I'm competitive, And I feel like, you know, do your best all the time, and why not? So I'm out there whacking the ball and running the bases and trying to get the home run just like
and
they are.
And it's good family time.
It is. And we just laugh. You know, we laugh when it gets caught in the tree, and we laugh when it goes over the neighbor's fence. And,
awesome.
You know, it's just, it's a lot of fun.
Good. Say, let's, before we get to the B of the ABCs, let's take a couple callers. Let's see. I have Jane on the line. Jane, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
I just had a question. In talking about going back to school and such, and now you see on the news a lot about with the swine flu immunizations and things like that, being a, you know, if you're a person who is basically kind of against immunizations, what is there a way that you can, you know, feed your child? I mean, I know you want them to be healthy and things like that, but is there a way you can avoid the immunizations by what you feed them?
You know, absolutely, and I know that Mary wants to take this because we were actually just talking about this before we came on the show this morning.
We were, because I was just listening to the news yesterday, and they're talking about needing 3 flu shots this fall.
Yes.
And parents get really frightened by the thought of having their child get the flu. And I think giving 3 flu shots to a child who is not healthy could probably put them over the edge, first of all, because there are reactions to the flu shots. But when I started this program 5 years ago with my kids, we were going in the doctor all the time for something, and they were getting the flu shot every year because I was also frightened. But since I have been feeding them well for the last 5 years and teaching them good nutrition and what they need to stay healthy, we no longer get those flu shots, and we have been really healthy in that area. So
it's eating well.
It's
eating well.
And we're
going to talk about that, but you were talking about some supplements.
Yeah.
And your older daughter is doing right now.
My 17-year-old was a camp counselor all summer, and actually the swine flu went through the camp that she was at. And she brought along her bifidobacteria, which is a supplement we recommend to boost immune system, and it is safe for children. And she took that every day, and she came home, and she goes, Mom, she goes, the swine flu is going through camp. And she said, I know that my supplements and good eating are keeping me from getting it.
Yep.
And she didn't
yep.
get sick all summer.
You know, I tell my clients that bifidobacteria, and my kids as well, and they're 3 and 1, do bifidobacteria along with me. For me, that is probably more important in some cases than a multivitamin. It does help boost or keep a healthy immune system. So I would say in addition to eating healthy, just like Mary's saying, a good bifidobacteria supplement. And then especially once fall and winter come on, I would say cod liver oil, because vitamin D and those omega-3s in cod liver oil boost the immune system as well. So those are the two things I'm doing for my kids, and I'm not doing the flu shot this year. And again, that's a personal decision, but that's what we would say.
Oh, that is wonderful information. You know, I do have your Bifido Balance.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, as far as like you were saying, your children are 1 and 3.
Yep.
Would this be something then that they could take, and how much if you?
I do, you know, if you wanted to use that up on them, you could probably just break open a capsule and dissolve it in some water. But I do another brand that we have at the office and that many chiropractors carry called Ultra Bifidus, and it's powder form.
Okay.
And start with just, you know, depending on, can I ask what age the kids are?
You know, actually it's for my grandchildren, and one is just a couple of weeks old, but then there is one who is 3 and one who is 7 months.
Okay. If you wanted to start all of them out, I think that would be a great idea, and I would start all of them on just a pinch.
Oh, okay.
Just a little sprinkling once a day, and you can mix that in a bottle.
Oh, so even the infant?
Yep.
Wow,
yep.
That's awesome.
Yep. Okay. Bifidobacteria is just something that's found in breast milk. And depending on what the mom is eating, some moms have higher levels than others, but it doesn't hurt to supplement. And then with a 3-year-old, again, start out with a pinch and work up to either 1/8 of a teaspoon 2 times a day or 1/4 of a teaspoon 1 time a day.
Okay. intended. Okay. Oh, thank you.
And that, yeah, and for the 3-year-old, just mix it in some water. It doesn't taste like anything, and just have them drink that. Bifido Balance, if you're giving it to kids that are a little bit older, you know, 3 and up, is really best on an empty stomach.
Okay. Okay.
So thank you for the call, Jane.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
All right.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. And let's take one more call. Let's see. We have Susanna on the line. Thanks for listening to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Hi, I just wanted to raise my voice on this issue of this kind of fear-mongering about going outside to play. And I think that if you really look at the research, it's very clear that there's been no change whatsoever in the percentage of crime. It's just the media coverage makes people more afraid, and 90% of us can easily go outside in our backyards and play. Kids can play safely. I think it's a combination of, you know, media-driven fear and then also just plain parent laziness on getting outside instead of just leaving kids sitting in front of a screen. So I really want to urge people to stop this, you know, it's a terrifying
excuses,
world
huh?
outside in your back door.
Right. Yeah, stop the excuses. Thank you so much, Susanna. Thanks for listening. You know, I go back to your idea. And I like the whole family idea.
Yeah.
Because I also just get worried about the road out in the front of our house.
Well, and your kids are little.
Yeah, my kids are little.
Yeah,
but even my
sure.
eight-year-old, my nephew that was here visiting last weekend, you know, lives on a farm. He can go anywhere, do anything. And he's at my house, and I walk out the door, and he's got the bike, and he's running it out into the street and coming back and jumping the curb. And I said, Austin, I know you're kind of watching out for cars, but they come around the corner really fast. Let's not do that at Auntie Cassie's house. So
I'd like to send you home in one piece.
Yeah, I would feel awful if the accident happened at my house.
That's right.
Well, so we talked about that aerobic exercise. And really, again, if you want stronger, healthier kids who can handle the mental stress of the math quizzes and the spelling bees with ease, that is just a vital school supply, the aerobic exercise. But let's move on. Huh?
Yeah, we need to go to B.
Yeah, I
so
love the B.
The B in our ABCs of back to school is balance. And when we teach our classes, we talk a lot about balance. And I thought I was pretty nutritionally sound when I came to Weight and Wellness. And little did I know,
as many people do,
I had no balance. And balance is the balance between protein, carbohydrate, and fats. And parents, the sooner you can start this with your kids, the better off you're going to be.
Absolutely. You know, when I see moms in clinical practice, I always say, remember the number 3. That is your magic number. Forget about those 5 food groups. You want to think of the number 3 and always get the protein, the carb, and the healthy fat at every meal and snack.
Yeah, and, you know, and like Cassie was referring to earlier, what a difference this has made in the lives of my children. This was the piece that was missing. I was cooking homemade meals, but I had no balance. It was so high on carbs, especially pasta carbs and processed carbs, that they were getting very little protein, which is so important, and probably not the best kind of fat or the amount of fat. And the difference it has made in my children, we have reduced anxiety. We have gotten off asthma medication. She was on 5 asthma medications since the age of 18 months old.
Oh, my Lord.
She just was having panic attacks. She was overweight. My other child had lacked energy as a 10-year-old boy. There's something wrong with that.
Yeah.
And my daughter was throwing tantrums, even though I'd say to her, how often do your tantrums work? Well, never. Well, then why do you do them? And I was thinking I was doing something wrong. Well, what I was doing something wrong is not feeding the balance that would balance their blood sugar and give them the happy moods. And they are all 3 different. But protein, carbohydrate, and fat is now a main staple in every meal and snack that we have, because I just noticed such a difference in their life and their health.
And like you said, they are all 3 different, but yet that balance helps them all, but helps them in different ways.
Yeah. So B, remember, B is for balance.
Right. You know, and the main reason why this makes such a difference in each child's behavior, even though they're each different, like you said, the main reason why it makes that difference is quite simply because it balances out our child's blood sugar levels. And when a child is no longer going up and down and up and down in terms of their blood sugar levels all day long, amazing things happen.
Right. And as a parent, if you think about what your body feels like when you eat something really high in sugar, do you zone out and you get really tired, and do you feel like a vegetable pretty much because your blood sugar is high? Or how about on the other end, when you are hungry and you haven't eaten for a while and your blood sugar is too low, how does that make you feel? That's right. The same thing your kids are going through.
Same for those kids. And we're going to talk more about this, but we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness. We've been sharing ideas with you on how basically to boost brain power and boost energy and focus in your kids as you prepare for the start of another school year. Don't turn that dial, because when we return, Mary is going to tell you about a brand new class that our owner, Dar, has developed, and will actually be teaching it. Dar is going to be teaching it live and in person. So stay with us to learn more. And if you have questions or comments on today's topic, please call us here at the station, 651-641-1071.
Living Life Out Loud on FM 107.1. Laugh along. Did you hear what Lori and Julia said the other day?
If anyone had told me how much money that 11 and 13-year-old were going to cost me, I might not have gotten married.
Oh, seriously?
Oh, my gosh. I couldn't believe how much. Come they on. Were a sieve, okay?
Really?
A sieve. And I was like, but I didn't know I was going to have to give up trips and shoes. These little bundles of joy are also a bundle of cash.
I think it's a good lesson for people.
Goodbye,
know.
Paris. Goodbye, Hawaii. Goodbye trips, oh. Goodbye shoes, goodbye shopping at Nordstrom.
Hello, then TJ Maxx.
Lori and Julia, Living Life Out Loud, weekdays from 3 to 7 on FM 107.1. Laugh along.
Lori, Julia, and me. Check out my Perez cast at 3:15 and 6:15 weekday afternoons on FM 107.1.
I got my hands up to take your
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Mary Haughey, mom of three and nutrition educator, and I'm here with Cassie Wienes, who is also a mother of some young kids. She sees clients at our Wyzetta office on a regular basis, and we went out to break. Cassie mentioned that our boss, Dar, who works endless hours seeing clients and somehow found the time to develop a new class.
Seriously, when does she do this stuff,
Mary? I don't
Mary.
Know. In her sleep.
In her sleep.
The new class is titled Stressed Out, High Anxiety, Real Food is the Answer. We all know that when we are under stress, we tend to not eat so well,
or,
first of all.
Yeah.
Not
well, some
sleep
people stop
so well.
Eating, other people eat more, and it's usually the junky stuff.
Not sleep so well. It just does take a toll on our body. So this class is going to be in St. Paul Saturday, August 15th, which is next Saturday, and Dar will be teaching this class in person. So if you sign up, you will get a real treat.
Yes, because she does not teach much anymore because she just doesn't have the time. So if you get a chance to take this class, you're going to get some great information. let's see. So we were talking about balancing kids' blood sugars. Where did I want to go with that? You know, we had a caller that didn't want to be on the air but wanted some good ideas for cold lunches, which I think is an awesome question, and it was a very timely time for her to call in, because we were just wanting to get to that. You know, your kids are in school. My kids are in daycare. I pack my kids' food for daycare, and they're only in daycare 2 days a week. But long story short, I started packing it right off the bat, and then we had switched daycares, and I thought, oh, maybe this one will be okay. And the kids had some different reactions that I just thought, okay, this is the change in the food, and it's just too junky, and I have to go back to packing it. So I'm glad we had that caller that is wanting to pack some lunches as well, because school lunch, you know, great that it's there at an affordable price, but it's not always the healthiest option. So something that my kids love and that always gets eaten is just a sandwich. I use a good whole wheat bread. I spread real mayo on it. The kids just love the real mayonnaise. They could eat it out of the jar. I add preservative-free turkey deli meat, slice of cheddar cheese, And I have never had this sandwich come back uneaten in their lunch bag. And that's something we have to keep in mind. I think sometimes as moms that really are into nutrition, we can get overzealous and, you know, pack the broccoli and the Brussels sprouts. And that's great if your kids are eating that. But I'm still getting my kids to some of those things. And so I'm not going to pack things that they're not going to eat. So try to think, what are their favorite foods and how can I combine that in a way that is balanced? You know, kids... There's a lot of kids that like tomatoes. If they like tomatoes, throw that in the sandwich as well.
And I love your idea with little kids about sending a toothpick for them to eat their food with, because then it makes it kind of fun. And you can just picture them trying to spear these little tomatoes as they're rolling across the dish, or the cheese cubes or the turkey cubes or the apples or whatever. My kids are older and they tend to pack their own lunch. And I do kind of look over their shoulder to see what it is they're actually putting in there. And I asked my daughter, who's 12, what her favorite lunches are. And she said, anything leftover, Mom, anything we've had from dinner, you know, because I can put that in a thermos, heat it up, and it'll stay until her lunch. She loves soups and stews. She loves, you know, when I make, she said, tell them about that peppers and tomato thing you make. Well, it's Italian sausage with peppers and tomatoes, and she loves that. She loves cold tuna salad, cold chicken salad. She likes turkey roll-ups with a little bit of cheese and apple rolled in there. Those are excellent. I have a daughter who's gluten-free. She takes lettuce wraps a lot and just brings the big hunks of romaine and then wraps up, you know, she likes a BLT lettuce wrap, which is nothing wrong with bacon if you can get it nitrate free and preservative free. So really the sky's the limit, and lots of fruits and vegetables out there. You know, kiwi are fun to take. Mango's fun to take. Her friends, I think, are always interested to see what she has in her lunch because it's, you know, it can be quite a bit different than what they have. She loves cottage cheese with, you know, blueberries and walnuts or almonds. I mean, just it's, you know, great thing for me to see her actually taking a nutritious lunch to school.
Yeah, that's interesting you say the other kids are interested to see what she's going to bring, but yet probably intrigued and a little jealous sometimes, especially with some of those nummy fruits. That
she shares with them.
Oh,
because she sometimes has to pack extra because her friends all want.
You're like, my mom never has mango or pineapple
or whatever.
You know, I gave a talk at our mom's club a week or so ago, and one of the moms, and she's a super nice mom, but I just thought this was an interesting comment. She said to me, she raised her hand and she said, so do your kids just, you know, nag you for some of this junkier stuff that they see out at the other kids' houses because you're never giving it to them? And I said, no, I can see where you might say that, but no, because we have good nummy tasting food.
Yeah. And you know
so
what?
It's not that
their tastes change. Once they get a hold of good nutritious food, they realize that French fries suddenly don't really taste very good. And they, and even my oldest daughter said, what did I like about these?
Yeah. Well, I found that in myself as I've gotten healthier, you know, and I was so afraid to give up some of those junky things. And now they just don't even
taste
good.
They don't taste good. They don't look good. They just, your body tells you, you know, this food really feels better.
And
for kids, it's the same way.
You know, another idea I just thought of, Mary, and something that I make for the kids sometimes and they think it's dessert is our protein smoothie recipe.
Oh, yeah.
Or I think if you go on the website, it says protein shake. I call it a smoothie with the kids because it sounds more fun. But I've used that idea a couple of times with moms that I've had as clients who have picky eaters for kids. And a lot of the lunch is always coming back half there or three quarters still there. A smoothie packs a punch in a small quantity for a kid. So that might be something you want to look up on our website. It's just a good whole fat plain yogurt, some good whey protein powder, fruit, and a little coconut milk or cream if they don't like that coconut flavor. And again, that recipe is on our website, so weightandwellness.com, and click on radio show, and then you'll see the word recipes. Click on recipes, because that can be another good one that would do just fine for a lunch meal, is that protein shake.
Yeah, that's a really, really, really good idea for kids.
You know, and while we're on this topic of packing lunches and stuff, I want to talk a little bit about school lunch, and I know, Mary, that you work in school lunch, and
I do.
I would never bash those people that work in school lunch or even, you know.
We are nice people, I will say.
Oh, my gosh, for sure. I've given presentations to the lunch ladies before. But the thing we all have to realize is that you guys don't have a lot of control over the foods coming in. And so I just, knowing that I'm not pointing fingers and you're not pointing fingers, I just want to really make sure listeners out there are aware of how not so healthy some of these school lunches are. And so I know you were talking, and this is my plan when the kids get to be that age. I'm going to be packing their lunch. I'm probably going to let them choose one day a week, which I think is
that's what I did all through grade school.
You know, give them some power, give them some ownership too, so they get to pick one day, but then pack their lunch because, oh my Lord, I found the ingredients of many of the school lunches and I know you're in the school lunch, so you get to read the packages. How frightened were you the first time you started reading?
You know, and it's funny because I am actually a prep cook and I do fresh fruits and vegetables. So I get to order in things that are very healthy and very good. And we don't use any canned vegetables in our school district. And we also get Lakewinds organic bread, which is a bonus.
Oh, that's awesome.
But I think where most school lunch programs fall short is the protein source. And we know that it comes through the government. It's a subsidy. And it's the only way that schools can stay in budget and still feed the kids, you know, something for lunch. But these protein sources are so overprocessed. And if you really think about it, they don't need to be because they come to us frozen and then they're basically heated up. You know, they're already ready cooked and heated up, which depletes nutrients as well because we don't make anything fresh just because of the contamination factor there. But the laundry list of ingredients is really, really sad.
And it's
on the most
mostly,
part.
I mean, I was just, I was so upset by the time I got home that night when I was doing some research for the show because, Mary, as you know, most everything here, or a good handful, it's high fructose corn syrup and it's trans fats, the two things that I will not let in my house, and there it's going to be in school lunch.
Right, and those are the two ingredients we truly feel are leading the obesity epidemic in our children. And it's because those things, your body doesn't really know how to process them, and actually high fructose corn syrup makes your child crave more sugary foods.
Yeah. There's some real science there in terms of how that high fructose corn syrup affects our bodies from the inside out. Stay tuned. We have more to say on this, but can you believe it's already time for another break? So remember, balance when you're feeding your kids. If you're up for it, start packing their lunches at school at least a chunk of the time. And if you can hang on until we return from commercial break, Mary wants to tell you about another class. This one is geared for young adults 12 years old and up, so stay with us. We'll be back in a minute.
Living Life Out Loud on FM 107.1. Laugh along.
We're back. I'm Mary Hauge, and I'm here with Cassie Wienis. We're discussing the ABCs of back-to-school wellness. And before break, Cassie mentioned we have a class specifically geared to young adults. This class is called Nutrition for Young Adults, and it will be taught Wednesday, August 12th in our St. Paul office. It is a class for, young teens, 17 and older.
Tweens.
Young adults.
It actually, Mary, 12 and older, if they 12 to 16, if they come with their parent.
Okay.
And then 17 and up if they can come alone.
Yeah.
If
you're interested in this class for you and your young teenager or older teenager by themselves, you would want to call 651-699-3438 and register.
Okay. So, we were talking a little bit about school lunch. And I think this has to be a show in and of itself. Again, not bashing school lunches, but just trying to maybe instigate some change. And as Mary and I were saying before we came on the show today, you know, where do you even start? Because it probably has to be at a national level. But the last thing, Mary, I know you want to get onto the sea of ABCs, but I just want to say, when I looked at this quesadilla, and you said you guys have a quesadilla too.
We do.
I didn't even have time to count all the ingredients, but I'm guessing 50 at least. Now, I usually tell my clients over 5 ingredients when you're shopping and just put it back on the shelf. It's too processed. This cheese quesadilla is 50 ingredients. Talk about processed, but that's all we'll say. What is the C of ABCs?
So the C of ABCs is count the fluid your child is drinking each day. And we really want that fluid to come mostly from water.
Yep.
Because we know that is the healthiest fluid for children. And you do get some water in fresh fruits and vegetables. Remember, if your children are drinking caffeine, it is depleting their water. So you need twice as much water for every glass of caffeine they are drinking.
Caffeinated beverage they're drinking. And as school lunch or school approaches and you're packing those lunches, instead of drinks loaded with sugar or instead of giving them money to go to the pop machine, why not pack a frozen water bottle in your child's lunchbox? That will act as your freezer pack. It'll keep the food cold, but it'll also be thawed by lunchtime for drinking.
Yeah, it's a great thing. And Cassie has written this great article about the ABCs of back to school. And she lists there, you know, if your child is age 1 to 3, they really need about 4 8-ounce cups of fluid
four
a day.
8 ounce cups.
That's
Think
a lot.
About that. So the thing is, you have to be offering it to the child, not
right.
just waiting for them to come to you. I offer drinks several times throughout the day when they're that young.
Right. Get them a fun water bottle that they like to sip out of.
Exactly.
Or a curly straw.
Lightning McQueen or, the
curly
twisty straw.
Whatever. But, you know, and that goes up when they're 14 to 18 years old. They really need like 8 to 11 glasses of water.
Cups. Yep. Yep. By the time they ask for a drink or realize they're thirsty, they're already dehydrated. So.
Yeah. And, you know, and when they're outside and it's hot, and I know this week two of my children are going to marching band camp, boy, that water is really important.
Yeah. And like you said, the caffeinated beverages deplete your system of water. So really focus on just clear water. When we do juice at our house, which is usually just for birthdays, we dilute it 50-50.
Right. Because they still get some of the flavor. But a lot more water and a lot less sugar, which is a great idea.
Exactly. Okay. This show seriously needs to be 2 hours, Mary. We got to work on, I don't know who we got to talk to, but time for break again. Last break already. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition. For any of you parents out there who have kids with food allergies, you can view an interview I did a couple weeks ago for a cable show called Girl Talk. If you just go to townsquare.tv/girl talk. townsquare.tv/girl talk. I'm talking about food allergies, and I know there are more and more kids out there, unfortunately, with food allergies. And when we return, we'll have some final words of advice on essential back-to-school supplies.
Living life out loud on FM 107.1.
I've been all around the world, I've been a new sensation, but it doesn't really matter in this generation, the sophomore.
So welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Mary Haughey, and I'm here today with Cassie Wienes, and we are talking about the ABCs of back to school, and we did not have nearly enough time to cover everything we wanted to cover today, but Cassie wrote this great newsletter, The ABCs of Back to School, and it's actually going to be published on our website, www.weightandwellness.com. And you can go there, and we had a caller that didn't want to stay on the line but wanted some ideas for back-to-school lunches, and those are also listed in Cassie's newsletter.
The newsletter. So that'll be out in a week or so. So, yeah, check that. Great article. And the S of our ABCs is sleep. We don't have enough time to really get into it in depth, but I just want to say that sleep is just as important as food, water, and exercise for brain power, for not having tantrums, for a million reasons. So don't let that be the one thing that, you know, kind of gets pushed to the side. Get those kids in bed at a set time. 10 to 12 hours of sleep those kids need.
That's right. So what we want you to go away with today is really start your next meal by having it be balanced. Get outside and get some exercise. If it's nice, take that balanced meal as a picnic lunch. And really, when your kids head back to school, they were already be in the swing of things.
Yep, and don't forget the water and the sleep.
That's right.
You're going to have happy, focused, wonderful kids.
That's right. So either food can be your problem or it can be your solution. We really hope today we gave you some more solutions. Have a great day.
And thanks for listening.
ba 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 ba